Here's your money briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. Having a shiny new car sounds nice, but imagine driving off the lot with a new car you know you can't afford. Unbeknownst to car buyers, some car dealerships are using fuzzy math and inflating customers' income on financing applications in order to close the deal.
Without financing, car sales can't happen. Most cars, especially most new cars that are sold with financing. So the problem that the dealerships are facing is they need to keep car sales going. They need to keep that volume moving. And how do you do that if the person sitting across from you doesn't have the income to qualify?
That's Wall Street Journal reporter Anna Maria Andriotis. She and reporter Ben Eisen will tell us how some car buyers are being duped, and in some cases, defaulting on their loans within months as a result. That's coming up. Shopping for a new car can be fun, and it can be tricky. It's hard for buyers not to be lured in by that new car smell, and dealers will do all they can to help them afford a new set of wheels with all the extra features. But it may be trickier than you think, especially when buyers rely on car dealers and loan financiers to make sure the numbers add up for monthly car payments. Wall Street Journal reporters Ben Eisen and Anna Maria Andriotis have been looking into it, and they're here to discuss. So, Ben and Anna Maria, sometimes car buyers or borrowers, they don't tell the full truth about their income. But do they ever know that in some cases the dealer could be inflating their numbers?
Well, what we're finding is that this is a practice that can happen without the buyer really ever knowing anything about it. What happens when you buy a car and apply for a car loan to go with it is that the dealer is oftentimes the one filling out the application. You give them the information, they fill it out, and you sign it before it goes off to the lenders for approval. But, you know, there's just such a lack of information about how this all plays out that sometimes when the buyer doesn't have enough income to buy the car, it does get fudged by the dealer.
Can you tell me about the woman in North Carolina who bought a Kia Sportage?
So I spoke with this woman, Baxter Hansen, who lives in North Carolina, and she received a loan to buy a Kia Sportage 2 years ago. Now, Baxter didn't really have much income, but she was told that she was approved for a loan and that the loan amount was about $28,000. That her monthly payment would be $493.
She's a stay-at-home mom for a long time?
So she's 67 years old, but she was a stay-at-home mom for much of her life. So she doesn't really have much retirement income coming in from Social Security or elsewhere. So I said to Baxter, well, didn't that create a red flag for you that you were just approved for a loan with a monthly payment of nearly $500 and yet you don't have much income? And she said, well, I figured they did their due diligence and figured out that I could afford this.
They gave me the keys to a car.
But even more interesting, when she raised concerns about the monthly payment and she said, I don't know if I can afford this, because she did have that conversation with the dealership. She said that the dealership told her, well, you know, don't worry about it. Pay the loan for the first few months and come back to us after the 6 months or so of paying the loan. We will refinance this loan. We will lower the interest rate and we will give you a lower monthly payment. So the idea here for people who don't know consumer lending, the ins and outs of how it works, it could make sense to someone that, you know, oh, right, I'll be paying my loan for a few months and then my credit score will probably rise because I'll have these on-time payments and then I'll be able to get a lower interest rate and a lower monthly payment. So Baxter is married, right? So there was the idea of, you know, maybe she could lean a little bit on her husband's income. But she also did start working because very quickly she saw making this monthly payment is going to be difficult. And she returned after 6 months, as the dealership had told her to. And the dealership then said to her, it couldn't help her. It couldn't give her. It could not lower the monthly payments.
Really?
Right. So
how common is that to refinance a car loan?
So a dealership cannot refinance your car loan.
That's what I'm wondering.
That should be the first red flag.
So they kind of misled her down.
That should be the first red flag. A lender can refinance your car loan, but you'll have to sort that out directly with the lender, not with the dealership. So there's something interesting going on here with regards to the dialogue taking place between car buyers and the dealerships, because, well, first of all, shouldn't the buyers know that, wait a minute, this is a monthly payment that is higher than what I want it to be. And the buyers, the consumers we spoke with, did say that. They said that they told the dealerships with both of the women who are in the story, I cannot afford this payment. I don't feel comfortable making this payment.
And I think that speaks to sort of a larger issue here, which is that within the whole chain of buying a car here, everyone sort of has an incentive to get the sale done, right? The lender wants to make the loan. The dealer wants to make the sale. The buyer wants to take home the car. And it can lead to something like this without appropriate safeguards in place.
Now, this may sound like dealers just trying to score a car sale, but it's the financing they're after.
Without financing, car sales can't happen. Most cars, especially most new cars that are sold with financing. So the problem that the dealerships are facing is they need to keep car sales going. They need to keep that volume moving. And how do you do that if the person sitting across from you doesn't have the income to qualify? And like Ben said, a lot of the communication between the buyer and the dealership about income is done verbally. So the salesperson might ask the buyer, well, how much do you make a month? The buyer tells them. And at some point, somebody at the dealership, oftentimes the sales manager, could be somebody in the financing department, somebody will type in that income figure into their software system, and off it goes basically to lenders to see which lender will approve the loan. So there's an element of what's playing out here is that the consumer isn't actually, in most cases, writing in their income in the official loan application that's going to the lenders. Now, at the same time, the consumer, in many cases, does sign the application, right? So as we were reporting on the story, one of the questions that came up when we were speaking with the dealerships and the lenders was, well, wait a minute, didn't they sign the application? Didn't they see that the income figure there was inflated? Well, in the cases of the people we spoke with, yes, they did sign the application. At least their signatures are on the applications. But a couple things happened at that moment. For starters, one sort of common theme that we heard was, it all happened very quickly. They were given the papers. They were told, sign here, 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 and then the papers taken back.
Oh, so there was no take a moment to look this over?
Exactly.
Oh,
so there was that component of it. One woman who we spoke with for the story, she speaks very little English. She's a Spanish, you know, speaker. That's her primary language. And the application was in English. The dealership gave her the form to sign the application. And she says the person in the financing office said, sign it quickly and give it back to me.
But I guess you would think that at the car dealership level, at least, they would run some numbers to make sure that the income numbers that the customer are giving them are legitimate.
Well, generally speaking, that's the responsibility of the lender. The lender is the one that approves the loan. That's sort of a third party in this transaction. And they want to make sure that everything is correct before they, you know, lend their money to a customer. But one of the things that is being done less these days is income verification. So when...
But would that be a credit check?
That
no,
would be different than
no,
a credit
those
check.
No, those things are separate.
Really?
And as we learned from speaking with lenders, the credit check is still very much happening. The action of pulling the credit report, reviewing one's credit history, looking at their credit score, and the lenders will say, well, we do this thorough credit check. We have other ways of determining whether somebody can afford the loan as a way of like justifying not doing that income verification.
Yeah, so income verification is literally the practice of requesting documentation or calling up the borrower to make sure the amount that's stated on the application is correct. So if my credit application says that I make $60,000 a year, do I have pay stubs to back it up? Do I have W-2s to back it up? If the lender calls me, what is that the number that I would say? And that happens less and less. We did an analysis of public loan data in some of these loans that get wrapped up into bond deals, and found that 7% of loans in the pools that we looked at had income verification. That means that in only 7% of the cases is there really any effort made to...
So 93% had no verification.
Right, exactly.
Oh, wow.
There was no effort beyond the actual stating of the income to verify that that number is correct.
So if the car dealership is giving the lender wrong information, what happens when the lender finds out this is happening? Is there, what's the communication back to the car dealership?
The biggest repercussion for a dealership is that if they're doing this sort of thing, lenders will eventually stop originating loans for their customers. And what that would then mean is that that dealership essentially shuts down, because without lenders, there's no way to sell cars.
And now you have a customer who may eventually not be able to afford this car because they're given an $80,000 car to purchase and they may only have the means to cover $50,000.
That is really what happens. And you are starting to see that early payment defaults, they've been ticking up over the last few years. And that is defined as a loan that goes delinquent by 2 months or more within the first 6 months of the loan. So think about getting a car loan that really you can't afford. You're going to stop paying on that pretty soon after you buy the car. And so early payment default can be one kind of signal of fraud in the application process.
Right. The problem will emerge quickly. That's one of the common themes that came up in speaking with consumers and consumer lawyers, that if someone's income has been inflated and they've been approved for the loan, the strains in the ability of the person to pay the loan will emerge typically in the first few months.
So where's the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau in all this? Who is there some overriding body that can take a look at this and say, now hold on?
The CFPB has oversight over auto lenders, but not over the dealerships.
Oh.
So really, since the CFPB was created, this was a problematic area because the CFPB, especially in its early years, went after auto lenders with enforcement actions and different other actions. But they did not have the ability to do that with dealers. And so there was and still is debate about how much responsibility should the lenders be taking versus the dealerships. You know, the dealers might look at things like, well, it's up to the lender to verify the income. But some of the lenders I spoke to said, it's up to the dealers to give us the right income figures.
So they're saying the dealers are on the front line. They should get all the correct data.
So there is some kind of finger pointing in a way playing out here. Most car loans are not given out directly by lenders. Most car loans are arranged at dealerships.
I mean, I think we should be clear that it's not as if there's no regulation of car dealerships here. The sort of main regulatory body for these types of issues is the FTC, and they have actually brought cases. There's one going on now involving this specific topic, and then there are state regulators as well, and they have brought cases against lenders and dealers for these issues. That said, the CFPB, because it does not oversee dealerships, it is one of its blind spots in a way, and the regulation is sort of a bit more disjointed because of that.
All right. That's Wall Street Journal reporters Ben Eisen and Anna Marie Andriotis with us. Guys, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for The Wall Street Journal.